This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
99.9 KISW. We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Aerosmith tickets coming up. We'll give you the secret word of 420 when you hear that. Takes that word to 206-803-ROCK in the meantime. Our question, what do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do?
Sorry, we're talking about things that you'll do if your significant other goes away, especially with diets. Right? So my mom goes out of town, my dad, vanilla ice cream, peanuts. Guarantee. Somebody here says, my grandfather is a diabetic. He sat one night with a cannoli, a snifter of scotch, a cigar, his insulin, and a meter. So he would take a bite of cannoli, sip of scotch, and draw on the cigar, then check his blood sugar. If it was okay, he'd repeat. If it was high, he'd take a shot of insulin and then return to his cigar until it was okay to resume.
Oh, man.
I like that. And he's got a system.
I lived with a person for a while who was ended up being vegetarian for 4 years. So whenever they would go out of town, I was like, you know what?
It's meat!
Meat city, man. I mean, there was so much. I went nuts. Whether I went out, whether I came home, I'd pick up steaks, I'd pick up pork chops.
Yeah.
Bacon, all of the terrible things. And I'd make a pound of bacon and put it in a Ziploc. I'd just go to the refrigerator, just pick one out, eat it. I'm like, bacon.
Dude. That's the move. This Mike, your wife was a vegetarian for a while, right?
Yeah, she was vegan for a hot minute, too.
How long is a hot minute? How long did you have to endure that diet?
When I met her, she was vegan, and I feel like within the year, she had gone back to kind of vegetarian.
And then what was the dish where she said, I will eat meat again?
It was things with cheese, and it was ice cream. There was a cupcake shop down in Vegas called Sprinkles, if I'm not mistaken. Right. And that had a cupcake there that she really, really wanted, that she remembered from like her first trip out there. We went down there. She was like, I'm going to break my veganism for this. And she did. She was sorely disappointed. But
really?
Oh, yeah. It did not hold up. But then she kind of
I remember
broke
her kind of tiptoeing in here and there. We'd go get barbecue on a day off, and she'd be like, I'll try a little piece of chicken.
Uh-huh. You know what it was, dude? You know, and that Ted's exactly right. She started kind of dipping in from time to time. I think the one that actually really kicked it, we had a party. I was not supposed to bring her to this party, unbeknownst to me. I thought it was kind of open invitation. It was not. It was for Castle Burton. It was down at the Met. And we were down there, right? And I brought her. As soon as we showed up, nobody else had brought anybody. So I was like, okay, just hide right behind me. Just sit there. Don't say a word.
I remember that. Yeah. I realized that was the thing.
She didn't order anything. She just ate off my plate. But I remember I got this nice steak that night, and I carved off a piece. I said, I'm just going to leave this here on the side of the plate. And then I just kind of enjoyed the conversation over here. When I looked back, it was gone. She went, that was so good.
Mm-hmm. By the way, let your wife know, hey, man, like, if you show up at one of these events, sign the corporate card.
It is.
Order what the hell you
get
want.
Sure.
You order any freaking thing you want.
Eat the steak.
It was just odd when he got there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Because there was nobody else had brought anybody outside of the group.
Who brought it up first, you or her?
As far as it was kind of universal to both of us, and that our and that our buddy Dave did come in and have a conversation with us, like, why was she there?
Oh,
yeah. I was like, yeah. Sorry. What, I didn't think so.
What do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Somebody should have told you. I will say, I've had some good, very, like, thrill. I've had steak at your house. It's delicious. Yeah. Miles, you do good steak. I've even gotten good at it, but just the ovens and everything are different. When you go to a, like, I remember the first time going to, like, a Ruth Chris or something. It blows your mind how good it is.
Like, I've never eaten steak before.
Yes.
Yeah. I've eaten beef that you have given me, but if this is steak, that is not what I've eaten.
Yeah.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola. Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, so this is this happened, I don't know, early 2000, probably somewhere around there. I'm a audio guy for bands, and I was out with this band that they're well known, and it was my first day. I started as their monitor guy, and it was my first day there, and we were doing a festival for like, I don't know, 20 or 30,000 people, and they were headlining, and on the side of the stage, in about the middle of the set, the lead singer looked at me and pointed to his ears. They were wearing in-ears, and if you wear in-ears, you wear these little wireless packs.
Yeah.
And frequencies sometimes mess with them, so he pointed at his ears. Something's wrong, and so I soloed him up on the board, and I could hear it, so I thought, oh, his pack's messed up. So I run out, I grab another pack, and I run out, and while he's singing the song, I stand behind him. I kneel down to change his pack, and he turns around and he grabs my head and he F's my face, and, you know.
Did the crowd cheer, by the way, when he did this?
Oh, they screamed. Everybody screamed and laughed, and, you know. And so then I realized nothing was wrong with his pack, and I ran off.
So he
set you up.
Do we know
this band?
You do know this band.
Okay. Do we know the lead singer?
You know the lead singer. And actually, another story is a year later, I was not the monitor guy anymore. I was the front house guy. This was right about the time when you guys first started streaming around. So when we would set up, I would play your show. I would play it through the PA. This day, the lead singer was standing next to me. And Miles, you said you started talking about this band. And you said some stuff that was, you know, it went bad. It wasn't, you know, you call them kind of generic or something like that. And the lead singer was standing next to me, and he goes, "Who is this guy? What's this?"
Well, what was the? If you don't mind me asking,
can
you give us a hint?
Just who that band was, not the singer effing your face, but maybe that guy.
They're a great band. I guess I could tell you they're an Atlanta Collective Soul. So.
Oh, okay.
You know, Miles is right. That's right. Not even an insult. No, like, they are very generic.
But not bad. It was funny because Ed was standing right next to me at the time when you said that, and he goes, what is this? Who is this guy? What are you playing?
Now, are you kind of mortified in that moment? Did he think you're playing this just to piss him off?
No, I laughed at it. I laughed.
Okay.
He didn't care.
They have a rabid fan base. The band does incredibly well when they tour. I mean,
he's still a dude standing there getting ready for the show.
On
the radio, you got Miles Montgomery saying you're generic and boring.
But the way Miles said it in the instance, it wasn't like he wasn't bagging on him or not. He was talking about other things, and he goes, and he names bands, and he goes, oh, blah, 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 bands, you know, generic bands, like blah, 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 this.
Gin Blossoms, Collective Soul, thank you.
Right. Yeah, yeah, stuff like that.
Right.
And it was in kind of in that thing, so, but it was just kind of funny that Ed was right there.
That is fantastic, man.
Look, trust me.
Oh, that's too
good. People have asked me what I've done for a living before, and I tell them the show, and they go, oh, I know that show, I hate it. My wife hates it. I'm like, well, it's not for everybody. They're like, yeah, man, I tried that like two or three times. You guys are just not funny.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you for trying.
In their defense, they're great guys, and they're a great band, actually.
They're very tight.
They are generic. I wouldn't say it like Miles does and hurt someone's feelings, but, you know, he's not wrong.
Yeah. Look, man, there's Seattle bands that are very popular, and I don't like them. There's Smashing Pumpkins, and I just, they're not my cup
of tea. They're from Seattle?
No.
But Jesus. I would have known that by now.
They're from Chicago. But either way.
I could tell with their rough exterior.
I do not like Green Day.
I tried. I went out and bought a bunch of their vinyl, and I thought maybe I'll find some Smashing Pumpkins stuff that I liked. And it just turned out, as the more I listen to the album, the more I'm like, melancholy is overrated.
You think?
In my mind.
I mean, I like some of it.
There's something for everybody out there. Trust me, that's a great thing about music is, you know, I like things that a lot of people don't like at all. And
so
I get
I'm
that.
A Faith No More fan. There's six of us. Five of them are in a band, and then there's me. But the thing is.
And Migs.
And the seven of us, right? So people make fun of me, but ever since I was even a kid, I'm like, you know your opinion does not affect how I feel. Like, I don't care. You don't have to like them. I'm just saying I like them.
Right.
Well, so Collective Soul, you are exceptionally generic, but that said, you got more fans than I do, dude.
Look, when the Seattle scene burst out, a handful of bands came out. I didn't mind Stone Temple Pilots. I thought they were a pretty good band, for sure, and I still do. Blind Melon, I couldn't get it. I bought the
I only
album.
Heard the one song.
I bought the album, and I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, I know they have a song, but past right. that song, I don't get it. I don't get the band. Where, like, I can listen to Spin Doctors. They're a little kooky and weird. And
I could
like,
not.
This is a very interesting, unique band. They do not sound like anybody else. They might not exactly be my cup of tea, but I get why people like them.
Well, you have, like, Seattle, in my opinion. You had, like, the Seattle grunge thing.
Yeah.
But then you're right. There's that weird 90s...
Not so
the
awesome.
Rocket, Spin Doctors.
Right, Jim Blossom. Yeah. It was okay.
But I realized years ago, my opinion means nothing in music. It really doesn't. Because back in the day, we used to let A&R reps, right? They would find the band, they kind of work with this band, and they would solicit record labels as well as solicit radio stations to give them play. And I realized I have very strong opinions, but my opinion is always in the minority because some bands I would have never, ever signed. Like, if they played me their demo, I would have yelled at them to get out of my studio, waste my time with this crap, Poison. Well, mm-hmm. they went on to sell millions upon millions of records, and I realized there's all the Smashing Pumpkins right. came to me. It'd be like, after, I'm not playing this crap. Are you kidding me? They went on to sell millions. So I go, you know what, man? Whatever it is I like, just assume other people don't.
Right.
Right,
yeah.
The bands that I would have turned down, and not because I have anything against them, I just think they suck as a band. Mm-hmm. So if they'd sent me their debut, whatever. Like, I'm not signing this crap. I'd have been fired in like 2 years, and like, you realize all of our competitors signed every single band you turned down, and collectively they've sold 50 million albums.
If there was a band, that was a rock band, that was playing in the area of where I was working in Frederick and Hagerstown, I did this thing where I did the midday show, so I would do an acoustic lawn lunch show.
Yep, that was big for a while.
Okay, because we had a big yard and a big field out in front. So if a band was coming into town at noon, we would set up a table out there. I would go out there. There were stools and everything else. It was a free show. You came up, you do your thing, and then you play for an hour, and then you go and do your gig later on that night. Well, this week, the band was live. So Ed's father at that time was the lead singer's dad was the manager. So
I know the tour you're... I was going to say, I've done one of those once in my life. It was the acoustic things. It was WHFS in Baltimore, but it was live. And the reason I went, it was because the girl that I was with at the time, who was an absolute smoke show, really wanted to go. Okay. That's the exact
same
tour.
I had heard two songs. We played Lightning Crashes and one other song. And they were both fine. There's nothing wrong with the songs. But the dad is talking big game, man. And he's talking to me beforehand about, you know, some of the things they're going to do and where they're going to travel to and blah, blah, blah. And it all sounded very popular. He's like, I'm telling you right now, he said, this band, he said, is going to be bigger than U2. And I said, trust me, man, on a global perspective, I know enough about U2 to know
you're wrong.
That you're never going to be as popular as U2, whether you like U2 or not, as far as popularity goes. And I said, also, man, you're opening for the Smithereens tonight. You guys better kick some serious ass because they're going to kick you off the stage. Because the Smithereens don't F around when they get up on stage. I mean, they are straight ahead rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I went to the show, and sure enough, I mean, they did a good set,
sure.
But then the Smithereens came out, man, and I mean, they just blew the house down. A band that no one even cares about, no one likes, no one...
Right. I mean, if you like them, you like them, and you're one of the 500 people at the venue.
I was like, this is a bad place to start out opening up for this band, man, because that's a tall order if you've seen them live. What do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
I feel pretty confident if we play anything on the station, we've been working here 19, 20 years?
Yeah, 19 years.
Right. If you guys hate it... And everybody thinks it sounds too poppy, and I like it. It's going
to
be a hit.
It's going to be a smash. You'd be the guy I hire. Like, I'd have to beg the record label, look, before you fire me, I hired this assistant named Ted. Well, what is he going to do? If I really hate something and he says, I don't know, man, I kind of like it, then we're gonna sign this band. Because they're going to sell Tillman. And I don't know why, and I will not agree with him, and I will still hate the band, and I think they will suck, but we're here to make money. And if he says, I don't know, I kind of like it, they're going to sell millions of copies. That's it.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk when Imagine Dragons showed up on our station. I was like, I like these guys.
And what do you know?
look at the top-selling artists in Seattle history, right?
All right.
I mean, if you look at it in perspective, who's number one?
Hendrix.
No.
Quincy Jones.
Kenny G.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny G's number one. Train from Issaquah. They're up there, too. They're in the top five or ten.
And listen, Train, if you're listening.
I love Train. And they're a great band.
They're awful.
They're awesome.
I have heard. Awesome. I saw them live, so I know you were lying.
No, they opened for Hall & Oates.
They were awful. They were. It's not that they were. Let me rephrase this. They weren't awful. And if they're listening, look, guys, as people, I've heard you're really, really cool. So it's not that you guys are awful on stage.
I like it.
Here's the thing. You're great on stage. My issue was you played Train songs. Like, if you had done a bunch of covers, I'd think, what? Sorry, man. I do not like them. And it doesn't matter. Because you know what they do? Have sex with lots of women and count their money. I'm just saying, I don't like them. I think they're god-awful. I really do. And they have the kind of name. I don't know anything about them, but I see the name Train. I figured, okay, probably a rock band, right? It's something big. It's heavy. It's a locomotive man smashed through a brick wall. Boy, I was disappointed when I heard that. I'm like, this is not. They should have been called Trolley.
Trolley.
You can't be called Train and start with this.
Well, come on now.
Really?
How about the scooters?
The train's just getting started. Train doesn't go 60 miles an hour out of the gate.
This is a
slow,
scenic
baby.
Thing with old people, and you're like looking at the mountains, but you're not in a hurry to get anywhere.
See, I'm the opposite. I see me and Mike in his backyard, sunny day.
And that's where they made millions. Because you like it.
This is
that's
not bad
my
at all.
Point.
There's some deadline sun, man.
Get the hell
this does
out
not
of my
suck.
Office.
Bro, you know what sucks?
When it's twilight outside, the deck lights are on, the beer's flowing. We're getting laid tonight when this song
yes,
comes
you
on.
Are.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes.
I'm not saying there's not strategic value.
Put peaches on. See what happens. Nothing. I'm just saying.
If you get laid because you played Peaches, it means you paid her to have sex with you.
You can put on Death Cab for Cutie. Got a good chance of getting laid. You put on Peaches, man, everyone leaving the party. He's playing Peaches. I'm out.
Mike, you're rocking back and forth like you're Stevie Wonder.
You're damn right.
Okay, back on track here. What did you wish you had never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Yes.
Hello, Debbie. Welcome to the men's room.
Debbie. Hello, guys.
Hola.
Yeah, so about in the late 1980s, I had this roommate, a guy, and we went out to eat at a Mexican restaurant during happy hour, because, of course, you don't have money. But, and he got up from the table, and I thought he was going to go use the restroom. Well, a couple minutes went by, and I'm looking out the bar window, and he's standing in front of the bushes and the flowers peeing. We left shortly after that. I couldn't believe it. And he was so S-faced that he had no recollection of it the next morning. I had to tell him.
Also, he spent the night with you anyway.
He's my roommate.
Your roommate. So it wasn't like...
80s, gotcha. 1980s.
Yeah. Well, see, I think with roommates, that's fair. As long as he's got a designated ride home, he's good.
Yeah, one thing I learned about having roommates...
I was the driver.
After having roommates, roommates are... They're like the United Nations of people. Mm-hmm. Right, you just don't know necessarily what to expect with each one of them, but all of them do something a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
It's a guarantee, man. Like you said, guy poops with the door open. Like, look, man.
Or leaves the poop in the toilet because he gets right into the shower and then forgets to flush it when he's out every single time.
I know this isn't
the
worst thing in the world. You know, cosmically speaking, this is not important. However, within these four walls, I find it very important. Can you please flush your turds down the goddamn toilet? Please.
Mm. Yeah.
Please.
What do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kristen. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up?
Hola.
All right, so, sometimes you hear that prompt, and you're like, I got to tell this story. So, my mom had a family friend. We had a family friend, a friend of my mom's growing up, Andy. He passed away about 5 years ago now, but... Interesting fella, problem with boundaries, but we used to go camping a lot. One night we're out camping. I don't know, maybe we were far from the bathroom or what, but Andy decides, around the fire that we're done for the night. He's going to go to bed. So he goes to his tent and he sets up his lantern like behind him so that you could see the silhouette of him like perfectly mapped onto the tent wall like a comedy movie, I swear. And we could kind of see him doing his thing or whatever, changing it. And then he pulls out this like 2 liter bottle with some liquid in it. And then we see his shorts come down And then we could see him very clearly peeing into his 2-liter bottle in his tent at this campsite.
You said you were camping?
Yeah, we're camping.
Why did he pee in the freaking woods where every other animal pees?
No, I don't understand. It didn't make any sense. Like, he's a big guy. Like, maybe he had a hard time getting around, or, like, I'm not sure. I think he had a hygiene thing or something.
Dude, I also think it's hard.
Hygiene?
I think it's really hard to pee in a 2-liter bottle.
Yeah. Accurately, yes.
Why do you to pee on a tree?
That's why road trips use Gatorade bottles.
Because it's got a wider mouth. Problem is you got to dump it out halfway through and learn to cut your stream off.
Yeah.
Because you'll fill it up. That's interesting.
Did you ever bring it up to him? Like, brother, we're in the woods. Why didn't you pee in the trees?
I just feel like, that's probably a good way to start the conversation. But we felt like, how do you ask a guy, like, why are you peeing in a bottle? And you'd have to admit to him that you saw him, like, whip out a schlong.
I would just tell him, like, we saw your silhouette, so we saw everything you're doing. We're just confused why you pee in a bottle when we're in the middle of the freaking woods.
Man. Are you fishing?
No, it was just chilling. Like, we're just car camping.
No,
like,
I mean right now. What is that sound in the background?
Oh, I'm driving.
Are you on, like, on a covered wagon or something? I mean, it's a weird noise in the background.
I know my timing belt is all messed up. You're probably hearing some of that screeching everyone.
Yeah, get that fixed.
I guess that's
it. That sounded like a little real.
Never be on time. Did.
Or like he's on a boat or something. I don't know.
Our question, what do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Who sucks less? Is on the way right after emails and our question, what do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, Mitchell.
Hola.
All right, quick story, something I wish nobody saw. But anyways, me and two other buddies were hunting in eastern Montana for about a week. All said and done, good to go. Let's head home. We'll stop in Missoula for the night, have a good hotel, shower, food, all that. My buddy goes, we got to go to the strip club in Missoula. Okay, sure, why not? So me and my buddies walk in. There's about 6 of us total. That's counting me and my two buddies. Well, I lean over to let one slip. About 90% sure it was just going to be, some gas, and it wasn't. I look over to my buddy. He looks back at me, and, oh, that's not a good face. I go, no, it wasn't. I go, well, you know what, whatever. I'm going to go to the bathroom, take off my drawers, throw them away. Might make the lap dance a little bit interesting, you know? And as I do my business, I flush the toilet, come out with my underwear in my hand. Guy's looking right at me, and he goes, that sounded pretty bad. I go, yeah, it was. And then we both made eye contact on the underwear at the same time. And he goes, well, have a good day. And that was about the end of the story. And we made eye contact in the club afterwards and kind of just gave the old nod and went about our business.
It was understood.
It was understood, and you know.
Well, how would you rate a strip club in Missoula, Montana? Good, bad, what?
It was a Tuesday night, Miles. It was what you expect for a Tuesday night in Missoula.
Okay, I've never been there. So
was
I don't
that
know.
The one out by the giant truck stop?
Man, Ted, I think you're right. You know, to be honest, usually if I'm driving, I know exactly where we are. I wasn't driving, but I can't imagine there being more than one or two clubs in Missoula. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I flew into Missoula once and, like, went to a bar, like, right by the airport, but it's, like, where all the highways meet. And my buddy kind of joking around, because we had to drive up north a little bit, he's like, you want to stop at that strip club? And I was like, I'm interested, but I feel like I'm with this. It could be questionable, but, yeah.
Oh, it was definitely questionable, but 100% worth it.
Okay.
yeah, it was good to go.
And you pooped yourself.
And pooped. I like
what,
that.
What do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-RUN.
For the record, once again, Missoula, great town. I just, the scariest airport landing you'll ever have in your life.
Yep. That's the one you always mention. Like, don't want to
do
it.
I mean, it just sits in a giant valley surrounded by giant mountains.
You just drop into it.
Yeah.
From the text line says, I wish I never saw my 380-pound, 6'4" mother-in-law riding her 350-pound husband in the buff.
That is a big, big mother-in-law.
That is, we're going to have sex. There's
okay.
Nothing you can do. Okay. I'm on top today. It's on top Tuesday. Hello, Randy. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So, late 2000s, Nebraska came to play the Huskies, and a company gave me a ticket, just one single ticket, so I decided to get down there. Pretty early, way before the game started, and commenced to getting sideways and on tilt just as fast as I could. And leading up to the game, I end up at a tailgating spot that's doing cornhole, and I hadn't ate all day. Well, they had this huge bowl of peaches that had been soaked in Fireball for days, and they were, you know, help yourself to those peaches. And I commenced to probably eating half the bowl, and I'm in a cornhole game and realized, you know, the old stomach starting to washing machine bubble, and I finally find some porta potties that had maybe five different porta potties with 10 people deep. I almost made it. I was one person deep before. Yeah, the former caller kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, but it started running down the back of my leg, and the shorts I was wearing. To make matters worse, you know, besides the 50 people in line that saw this running down my legs, a mixture of Jim Beam and Budweiser and peaches
and poop
and Fireball. I get in the porta potty and I'm starting to clean myself up. Luckily, I had a t-shirt underneath the jersey that I was wearing. So I start cleaning myself up and realize I got a pretty bad case of monkey butt. And I use the hand sanitizer on the clean side of this shirt and commence to trying to clean the monkey butt up, and I screamed like a little girl when that hit the backside of me.
I was going to ask, man, didn't that sting like a mofo?
Like I said, man, just the highest pitch girl scream you can imagine. So. not that it wasn't already bad that they all saw that.
Did you end up going to the game?
I did not. I knew that the shorts were pretty stained. It was going to stink. So, and I was, you know, I was on full tilt. So I skipped the game. I went to my car and realized, hey, luckily I had a pair of sweatpants in there. So I changed into sweatpants, laid the seat back. And, as people started making noise after the game, passing me in the car, you know, I finally woke up and decided, yeah, it was probably the best thing for me to sleep.
To be honest, did your ass stop stinging by the time you woke up?
Oh, it took a day, man. A day.
Well, I live in Fremont, and there's no easy way out of UW Stadium if you live in Fremont. Now, before the light rail got in there, if you're north or south, it's easy to get in and get out.
Sure.
But when you need a cab, an Uber, just how tight that intersection is with the Montlake Bridge and everything, you just need to start walking. Because I have had that situation before where I'm like, can I make it to North Lake Pizza? Can I walk that far?
I'm sure they love hearing that.
That is the closest bathroom to me on my way home. Can I get to Vula's? You know, can I make the halfway point of the I-5 bridge? Because I don't know if I can make it. I had that one time, man, where I was walking back from a game. I'm like, everyone's on the Burke Gilman Trail, so there's no real way to duck off.
I mean, the light rail helps a ton. When I lived on Capitol Hill, there was times where I would just walk home from the stadium. And then once the Huskies were playing Oregon, so I mean, massive game.
Sure.
It's a Saturday night game, and
I remember I had a 12-pack of Miller Lite with me, and I was like, oh, I'll just get an Uber. Like, I mean, living in Belltown, you just can't get an Uber. I ended up walking all the way around, like, Eastlake. Just finally, I was like, halfway there, I was like, screw it. I'm just going to walk to this goddamn stadium.
Yeah.
But it was one of those Saturdays in Seattle where, like, bunch of S's going on.
Of course. Let's schedule everything on one day.
Yeah, and you just couldn't get it.
And close the bridge. What do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
First time I kind of really learned to hate Duck fans, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're obnoxious.
I have heard that about them. They probably think the same thing about Huskies fans, right? Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, this is in Arlington about 20 years ago. There was a house, it was kind of a party house. Friends were getting evicted, and they had some shady characters there. There was this one weird guy there. I didn't know him. I went to go help her move one day. I come back, she's like, oh, my God. This is when we had VHS tapes, and you can record them with, you know, video cameras for all those kids out there. This guy, I guess, had went in our house when they weren't there, set up a contraption with, like, a pipe and a tripod and had anal sex. And he left it, the VHS tape for everybody to find. I saw it. I mean, I couldn't watch more than like, it was weird, man. And he disappeared after that too.
Do you think he left it there on purpose?
Oh, well, I know he left it there on purpose. It was VHS, man. He was going through tape. It was right on top of his head.
Okay.
Wow.
That is very weird. I'm glad you moved.
Yeah, that's why you never saw her again.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm going to leave you with this one last memory of me.
Our question, what do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? Here's a couple more for you. At a birthday party, I had a 45-year-old heroin addict who was a prostitute squat over my face as I was lying and passed out on the floor. I was 18 at the time, and I woke up to that.
Oh.
Another thing they wish they'd never seen, a sexy picture of my mother in lingerie. Now, granted, she was not naked, but most of the lingerie that she was wearing was see-through.
Uh-huh.
As a pallbearer for my uncle's closed casket funeral, I was there as my aunt insisted that the casket be open for her. Inside the casket was a body bag, which clearly just held the collection of pieces left of him. This was a great person in my life. It was hard to see that that's how he ended up.
What did the aunt think she's going to see? I mean, there's a reason they do closed casket. 99% of the time, you can piece together why. They were hit by a train. It's going to be closed casket.
But I've been at a viewing where it was a closed casket because the mom specifically said close it.
Okay.
But it was at a funeral home. So, like, it was a close friend of Bernie and I. So we waited around, and then at the end, they were like, all right, we'll open it for you guys.
Okay.
Which is odd because they had already like embalmed the body and everything.
But she insisted that it was closed.
She wanted it closed, I guess, when people were there, which like, well, then it's not much of a viewing. But I mean, I don't know. We did it with my dad. We had him in an urn. But like, yeah, Bernie and I were just, because we were young, we were like, we got to see him.
Yeah.
Guys, what I wish I'd never saw, a simple text message. I wasn't supposed to see it. It ended my 9-year marriage. But in the long run, I'm glad I saw it. I walked out of a movie theater after seeing some forgettable movie with friends. We turned around the corner of the movie theater, and there was a guy there just going to town. But he had a cup underneath to catch the stuff. Pants down, ass out, going wild, having himself a good time. We promptly backed up, crossed the street, stopped in a restaurant across the street, and ate a meal. About an hour later, when we left the restaurant from across the street, we could still see the same guy.
Jeez.
Still going at it furiously. Still waiting to land it all in the plastic cup.
Wow.
Our question, what do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, if you're on a group text, you gotta make sure. Like, I happened to it in my family. My sister started talking ass to one of my brother's friends, but forgot that he was on the group text.
Oh, boy. Surprise, surprise.
Yep.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, boys.
Hola.
Yeah, I was in my vehicle. I was driving a truck at a time, so it was a little higher up. And we were on first, passing like Showbox Market, coming right up on Pike Place Market. Busy summer day. We're stopped, waiting for pedestrians to walk. I look over. There's a guy with a like jacket or blanket over his lap, but just masturbating in his car.
In his car,
and like I looked over. It was, you know, clear as day what he was doing, because, like, you know, the jacket's, like, bobbing up and down in his lap. And
I look at him like in disbelief, and he looks at me like, yeah.
Yeah, finally, someone saw me.
So, yeah, that one's just burned in there.
All right, let me ask you this, man. Do you think that that's illegal?
Yes.
Well, it's one thing. I would understand distracted driving.
Because people can see you.
But if you cannot see my genitals, I could be doing anything under there. If you're covered, because they get you on a decent exposure, they might get you on lewd and lascivious behavior. Does anyone use the term lascivious outside
of... I could go down to Myrtle Edwards Park with somebody.
But if I'm not showing anything, what are you getting? You're making an assumption about what I'm doing.
Lay down in the grass, put a blanket over both of us, and start doing our thing. But I think it's fairly obvious what's going on.
It might be.
So that's public indecency.
But you still have to make an assumption about what someone's doing. I could be scratching my bees for all you know.
That's true.
And I can tell the cops, I'd be like, prove me wrong. What are you going to do?
That's what I told
my
mom.
Nobody saw anything. I mean, your mom knows better, but I'm saying if the cops rolled up, you got to prove that, bro.
A couple other ones, guys. I caught my boyfriend's roommate masturbating with my underwear. Another, when I was 9 years old, I saw a guy slice his brother in the chest with a machete. He was a little bit older than me, but it still affected me.
Yeah, I think it would.
And at a Walgreens in Wisconsin, semi-regular customer walked down an aisle in front of me and maybe didn't realize that they were using the bathroom and did both, number one and number two, all down his leg, leaving the remains all down the aisle for everyone to see as he continued to shop.
Damn. I've seen some videos of that. There was, I think it was a lady walked in. I don't know what the store was, but automatic doors. She walks in, she has a dress on, and you... The first time you watch the video, you don't realize that she just pooped. It looks like she's scratching her butt or adjusting her underwear. Her hand just goes back real quick. No big deal. But there's a guy walking in directly behind her, and you see him do that telltale thing where you stop walking and lift your foot up like and do the crane kick from Karate Kid because he stepped in a turd. And then when you watch the video again, knowing what you know, you realize when it looked like she's adjusting a wedgie, she was moving her underwear out of the way so that the turd could just drop unimpeded to the floor. And this guy, who's not thinking that anyone's doing that, stepped directly in it.
Okay.
What
do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, I would go to study at the public library there when I was in college, and I'd go try and find a nice secluded seat in the back, and there was always this old man there with headphones on, and one day I walked behind him and...
Oh, geez, man.
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
So when I was telling you what not to say, you were kind of talking over me. This is what I was talking about.
Please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Come on, man. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Good times.
That one's kind of obvious.
Yes, it is.
You were trying to explain it to him?
Well, yeah. You know, I tell everybody when I run through these things, like, all right, just go right into your story, get right to the punchline, make sure that your radio's trying to lay me down, no swear words. And he didn't, I know, no swear.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Well, apparently you don't.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. A teenage boy has been convicted of outraging public decency after being seen doing a disgusting act with a horse. Magistrates heard how the 17-year-old, who cannot be named, was spotted by a woman who was using binoculars to check on her horses in a field on May 29th of last year. She said, I think I shouted, hey, you better get out of that field. What in the hell are you doing with the horses? Well, the woman's partner said her actions drew his attention, and he looked through the binoculars. He said he saw the teenager holding one of the tails of the horse with his right hand, with his other hand fully inserted into the horse. He said he was stroking the horse down its neck and down its rear, and then he proceeded to pick the horse's tail up, and you know what? I thought to myself for a minute, what have you just seen? Are you sure you saw that?
That's a fair question.
So I picked the binoculars back up and had another look. That's when I realized he had his whole hand in there. The man rang the police and stopped the teenager from riding away on his bike. He said, I went up to him around the window and asked him to stop so I could speak to him. He said, I love horses. I wouldn't do anything to hurt one. I said, stop, we need to talk. He didn't want to. He said, I don't want to talk to you. The man said the teenager appeared to have a mark on his left arm, and there was a smell which he had never smelt before. The coroner heard how police arrived at the scene, spoke to the couple, took the teen home, and explained the accusations to his parents. Sarah O'Neill, who was prosecuting, told the court, it's accepted that this man had some substance on his arm that had a smell. It appeared to be a sticky type of liquid all over his arm.
One of the officers who attended the scene said the teenager had something on his arm which could have been feces, but he wasn't willing to touch it or smell it for health and safety reasons. He admitted it could have been mud.
Think about that, man. You grab your binoculars, you're checking on your horses, and you... I think the guy, he said the right thing. Like, did I just see what I think I just saw? Let me take another look. Like, who is that worse for?
I mean, nothing sexual, obviously, but something kind of similar with horses. It was in, like, Pittsburgh, but way up north of my buddy's place.
All right.
So we had watched a Steelers game at some bar. It's, you know, it's like quarter wings, dollar beers.
Sweet.
So me and my buddy Bernie, we're hammered. And we pulled to my buddy's girlfriend's house, and he goes, and we're like, oh, she lives on a farm. And he's like, hey, you two are drunk. Stay in the car. Don't mess with the horses. And we're like, why would we mess with the horses? And 2 minutes later, he comes outside and he's screaming at us because it only took us literally 30 seconds to be like, dude, those are real horses. Let's go climb the fence and try to ride one.
Jeez, did you?
We were like, my leg was over the fence and the horses were coming
over.
He was like, well, you two, what are you two doing? And we were like, nothing.
He literally told you, don't mess with the horses.
Yeah, and I don't know if that put it in our drunk mind, but it was like 30 seconds. Teddy, we should go try to ride a horse. Like, hell yeah, we should.
What do you wish you'd never seen, or what do you wish that no one had seen you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Alan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
Hola, bicholas.
So, Alan, what did you see?
I used to live down in Lewiston, Idaho, and I worked for a boat company down there, and... one of the worst things I've seen is I had access to a very, very expensive boat, and that was my boss's, and I had to go do recoveries.
Recoveries?
Yeah.
Recoveries.
Folks, they didn't have a very good time out there.
On the lake? How many times did you have to do this?
I did it 11 times.
11? Good. How long did you work there?
About 8 years.
So it's a little more than 1 year. You have to go out and recover. Are the bodies generally in the same condition, or are there any that stick out more than the others?
They were, when you pick them up after, they looked horrible.
Are these just people involved in boating accidents or just drownings, or what was the...
Rafting and drownings.
Rafting. Okay. All right. That makes a little bit more sense. I don't know if I'd want to be a part of that guide service, knowing that there's all those bodies in the water and there's only two or three guides available.
There's a reason why they call them life jackets.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Was that a commonality among all the victims?
I never recovered anybody that didn't have a life jacket on.
Did you ever able to save someone who did?
I've done that.
Well, that's a good lesson.
So you like everybody, right? Like no, right? I see what you're saying. People you recovered generally weren't wearing their life jacket.
No, they were not. No.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's right there in the name, man. Like, just put this bad boy on. Save yourself some trouble. Almost strong swimmer. I understand. Put it on.
And rivers, man.
Yeah,
that's a different ball game.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less, and we've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.